Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Welcome, everybody, to another beautiful summer's week here in Colorado. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, the Truth Straight Up. Brought to you by
Colorado's, well, actually, I should say America's CitizenPress.com. They kind of switched. Dendris and Agendix and Dr. Julie McCallan. And then our new sponsor, Happy Trees, happytrees.co. We're going to be talking to the owner of that, who did some great work for us, coming up later in the show. Also, CD7 candidate Laurel Eimer coming up at about 315, 320. You won't believe where she found some of the ballots sent out by our gold standard election system. So we'll tell you about that. But let's just say they weren't in the mailboxes they were mailed to.
But we're really thrilled to have with us Bob Lewis. He's running in CD4 against Ken Buck. He pulled off the greatest upset, quite frankly, among many upsets in assembly for CD4 when he took well over 60% of the vote, and Ken Buck, the incumbent congressman and former president of or chairman of the Republican Party of Colorado, only got 32%, just barely made the ballot, which is
had to be a little bit.
So this is kind of your grassroots hero in a grassroots revolutionary year. So Bob, we're going to get him on right now. Bob, you there?
Yep, he's here.
We're here.
We're here. Yeah.
Thank you and welcome to the show. Let me ask you this. Did you expect to get that kind of victory? I know you've been talking to people. I know Ken Buck was probably pretty surprised, but what about you?
I did not expect 62%. I expected a little over half. So our estimate was pretty close.
Wow. Well, tell us, I guess, like I said, people may not have heard of you. You're running against Ken Buck in CD4. Ballots are out. They're due back in by June 28th. Yep. Why do you think you beat Ken Buck? And why do you think you can beat whoever the Democrats come up with?
Well, fundamental difference. I'll tell you a little bit about where I come from, what I'm made of, and then I'll talk a little bit about why the incumbent is having such a difficult time. It was fairly predictable, but I'm a guy, I've prospered in the private sector in a couple of different careers, but last 26, 27 years, I've been a real estate broker, both for large firms and small firms. So I've prospered in the private sector my whole life.
Okay.
When I was a young man in my 20s, I was writing, you know, paychecks to folks who were supporting families. So I know, I get it. I know it. I've lived it my entire life. I'm a guy who believes our very similar, very much like our founding fathers of this great country. I believe our rights come from the Creator. They're a gift from God. And the only legitimate purpose of government is to protect those rights. And I believe that anybody that tells you differently is trying to sell you something, and you need to run away and as fast as you can.
All right.
So that's kind of where I believe in free markets. I believe in personal responsibility. You put those elements together and you've got the United States of America, the most powerful economy and people the world have ever known. And I believe I have a vested interest in seeing it continue to succeed. What our motto is in our campaign is ride for the brand. And that's a good Western motto that basically says when you show up to work, somebody's paying you, you're responsible for somebody, you do the job for them. You don't cross the creek and round up cattle for somebody else. You you fix the fences, you know, you water the horses, you do the work for the folks that are paying you. And I don't believe our incumbent is actually doing that work. Riding for
he
the
is
brand.
Working for the folks who are paying him. It's just not the constituents.
Well, actually, we hire him, so he.
Right.
Well, that's chump change. That's just chump change.
You'll see him say, these are my constituents. And he kind of gets that look on his face on Fox News when he's so proud to be talking on Fox News. And no, it's the other way around. You're their representative. They're the employer. You're the representative. And that ownership and that relationship has got to be understood. So three elements included in writing for the brand, when you go back and look at 4-H or FFA, when they talk about it, is duty, pride, and stewardship. So where's the duty? It's to the district. It's not to some committee, actually the ones he's on are subcommittees and subcommittees. It's not to some committee inside the Beltway. It's not to the establishment government back there that are raking in dollars and printing dollars and spending them. Our duty is to the voters and the folks that live in the district. Pride. You take pride in that fact that I take pride. I moved here on purpose. Okay. I didn't show up here because the federal government moved me here to work for the Department of Justice. I moved here. I moved my family here. I raised our kids from just little toddlers all the way up. So they're now, my son's 36, my daughter's 34. So that's where we came from. We take definite pride. I've been all over the district ever since I've lived here. I was HD 64's, House District 64's chairman.
Okay.
As chairman for that central committee, Republican Party, I had a district that almost perfectly overlapped what is now CD4.
Oh.
With the exception of the urban hubs in Douglas County and Weld.
Okay.
So all these people know me. And so it's not like I walked off the floor and nobody knew me. In fact, I've campaigned for the incumbent and regrettably donated money to him in the past. Stewardship, it means I'm going to return this position to the voters when I'm finished, and it's at their discretion because I got to apply for a renewal every 2 years. Yeah. I'm going to return it to their possession in better shape than when I took it out. And I'm going to do absolutely everything in my power. So that's ride for the brand. I have serious differences with the incumbent. His very first vote was for John Boehner for leadership. And this was, way back, it's been 8 years ago. But he campaigned all over the district when he would travel the district, which he doesn't do now. Yeah. He campaigned all over the district as a conservative. And when he voted for John Boehner for leader, I tried to get him on the phone. Of course, now he's a congressman. You can't reach him. Yeah. However, I got one of his staff members and they said, Bob, you don't understand.
Oh,
if he doesn't vote for leadership, he won't get a good committee. To which I responded, and again, this is 8 years ago, if we thought it was about the committees, we wouldn't have elected him. We would have elected somebody else. He's continued along that line. During the 2020 election...
Well, let's talk about that for a second. To me, Ken Buck is one of the great disappointments in Republicans in a long time. I mean, I know Ken socially a little bit. Nobody more pleasant, more jovial, good sense of humor, bright guy, went to Princeton, ran as a very strong conservative against Jane Norton and won the Republican primary based on that, though he lost in the general election. And at times he wrote, we got to drain the swamp with his book.
Talk the talk.
Well, half the time he would do it. Half the time he'd be sponsoring visa bills to let massive numbers from India to come in and take away jobs from American college graduates. There probably is no more condemning one. And if you have a mailer left, you should send it out if you already haven't, saying, who's a Liz Cheney Republican? Well, Ken Buck is. Ken Buck supports Liz Cheney, endorsed Liz Cheney. Today you cannot say anything worse about two area Republican than you're a Liz Cheney Republican. He's just disappointed me when he ran for state chair. Susan Beckman was a grassroots person. The grassroots, the first time in ever, were about to take the chair, which is all powerful in the Republican Party. And so they went to Washington and dragged him in did a rigged election with rigged proxies, and he won. He didn't do the rigging because you always have your consultants do the rigging in this world.
And then did nothing with it. I mean, he had the Rolodex.
Yeah, the
color. You could just see the money the Republican Party in Colorado was rolling in.
And every time he could, I mean, he was, as when he sat on the chair, eloquent and jovial, but he would do things like on the way out. They have a representative to the executive committee that's from the 4th District. Peg Cage was about to get it. So he did his Susan Beckman on her, and he got George Brockler elected. And George Brockler hasn't shown up for a single meeting. He at least when I was on the executive committee, he was never there. He attended by phone once, and that was his total contribution, other than giving the chair his proxy. You know, DAs and screwing over women seems to be a big thing here in Colorado. But so it's just, I mean, I'm sad that I am 100% behind you. I also,
thank you.
I endorsed and gave money to Ken Buck. And I need to write a check out to you because I really hope I hope you win. And I think it would be one of the great upsets of all time. I don't think, you know, this hasn't quite made the front pages yet of the grassroots revolt that's going in Colorado. But if you pull off this victory, it'll reverberate all the way back to Washington.
Indeed. Well, the final with me was when he voted with the Democrats to certify the election in 2020. And his campaign gets really mad when I say he voted with the Democrats, because Ken Buck did vote with the Democrats. There were 238 Republicans in that caucus. 147 of them voted to defer short term the certification under some legislation that Ted Cruz had introduced to allow for a short investigation prior to the inauguration on January 20. Could have gotten it wrapped up. But he voted with the Democrats, so they had a sufficient majority. And now we have $5.50 a gallon gasoline. We have a war in Europe. We have double-digit inflation.
Stock market down 500. I'm like, I'm looking at my
phone. That's just today.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the thing is, as we all know now, if they had waited, all the stuff that's coming out about the election
Correct. Now,
it's like, you know, criminal investigations, all kinds of stuff. So
why do you think the assembly was so mad at him? Because that's almost unheard of to have a ostensibly highly popular.
Barely make it.
Yeah, I guess he got 38%.
Okay,
but that's not far from 29, or too far. Why were they so mad at him?
Well, it's all the reasons that we've articulated already, and other people have different reasons. I continue to have people, I've had hundreds of people text me their vote, where they took a picture of their vote for me and texted me. My phone's blowing up with that. It's a meme right now. So, everybody shared the same problems that you had, but somebody needed to, with a little bit of skill and understanding of the system, the way it works. I've run these committees many times, so I know how to the ins and outs of it, and I was able to execute it. Not everybody could have done that. I pulled it off, and we've raised some money, and we've got a real steamroller ahead. We're over this last weekend, we were all the way from Larimer in the north to Ordway in the south, down in Crowley County. We spent a full day at Parker Days, and the whole time it's been nothing but love. Bob, I'm so happy you ran.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, people are, because, you know, I think what I really appreciate for you is so often we in the grassroots, we grumble about stuff, right? And we say that they betrayed us. But then we have no choice but to vote. I think in this election, you've got a choice. And we're going to talk to Laurel Eimer here next. I mean, you've got a choice in almost every congressional district, you know, where Republicans have a chance. And I think, you know, back to the committee thing, I know I heard Marjorie Taylor Greene speak one time, and she was talking because they kicked her off the committees. And she said, great, because now I have time to focus on what are we actually voting on? And she said she's been appalled to realize how it works. And she keeps, you know, kind of throwing a wrench in the works by actually calling for votes. I mean, she said, I've been far more effective.
That's amazing. She's actually, when they kicked her off the committee, she's just sat there and called for recorded votes.
Yeah.
Right.
And now she's got, what she's had is she's had other Republicans, when she has to go to the bathroom or go to lunch or she has congressional business, she's got a shift worked out so that continues to happen. One of the things I'd like to do with whatever time we've got left, I'd like to talk about my platform moving forward, the issues that I see, and I think they touch on the district.
Okay, we've got
Would you like to hear that? Yeah, we've got about four or five minutes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right, my platform has three primary elements. Well, I call it the independence platform. I want you to know that it's not just that I'm disappointed with a previous representative, but I've thought about this for a long time, and I'd like to move forward and bring my own initiatives in. The independence platform includes agricultural independence, which I also call food independence now, because so much of our food is being offshored in that supply chain all by itself. Energy independence. We've got to get back to where we were just a couple of years ago, where investment is encouraged in the United States and on public land as well, not just on private land. And then parental independence. We must end the federal government's attempt to take over the raising of our children. If I could wave a wand in any way, shape, or form with my vote or otherwise, I'd like to do away with the Department of Education. It's just, we had for 191 years, we didn't have one, and our test scores have been falling ever since we established it. So those are the three primary elements. I can break those down more. But
well,
I know where I'm going.
Okay. Well, I had a grandfather as a congressman.
Uh-huh.
I can tell you, as he said, there's virtually no position other than vice president that is more worthless.
He said,
you know, and he had a picture of him with FDR. I said, that's great. Okay. You know, why don't you bring, it was in a closet. I said, why don't you bring it out to your front desk? He says, having your picture with a famous person isn't very important. It's when the famous person wants to have your picture with them, then it's important. But he said, you know, eventually ran for governor and lost. But he said, I don't care. I mean, it is a soulless job in which you're quickly consumed by every rotten human being.
Chuck, don't listen to Chuck.
So I have that to look forward to.
Yes, you have that to look forward to.
All right, understand this. I'm not going there to be popular, at least not popular inside the Beltway Beast. I will spend time. I will be available and answerable to the folks in the district, to the party, quite frankly, to the Republican Party here. Our local Elbert County, I live in Elbert County, which has got more livestock than people in it. And, you know, I know these people, they're solid people, and they want to hear from their representative. Right. We haven't heard from him in years. He sometimes would send a representative to represent him, but I don't care if they're happy with me or not. I'm going to vote no on a lot of stupid stuff. And if that upsets them, they can get over it.
Right. Well, Bob, final question for you, Bob Lewis.
Yes, ma'am.
CD4, where can people find out more?
Where can I send a check to you?
Yeah, where can people give you, can you donate, volunteer, etc.?
BobLewis4CD4.com. That's BobLewis4CD4.com. You can go there. We've got videos. We've got a lot of information, a lot of the material that I covered here. And you can certainly make a donation. You can donate up to $2,900 for an individual. And we'll take a $5 donation. We'll take a $100 donation, whatever your soul brings you. And we're up against a guy who, when he was chairman, he lost every race that the party put up, but he did manage to stock his own bankroll, his own reelection account with $300,000. So he's got that going for him.
There you go.
So well, listen, a little bit of help.
Our listeners like you. Charlene has commented there. This guy is very well spoken and has a plan. So, Bob, thank you for your time. Good luck. I'm sure we'll stay in touch.
And really, I can't wish more good tidings for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
God bless Colorado
and Congressional District 4. Robert Lewis, top line, Congressional District 4 for the Republican Party.
All right, sir. Good job. Thank you very much. And now we'll switch over. We got a kind of a packed show today to Laurel Eimer, who is the candidate. I saw her in the waiting room. She's this candidate, one of the many candidates in CD7. The best one, the one we support. We were at an event with Laurel last week. Thank you to Mark Barrington. And it was a biker bar. It's like Bikers for Laurel.
Yeah, it was great.
You had a ton
of the owner of the bar is a big supporter of Laurel.
That's so right. Great. So, Laurel, thank you for your time with us again today.
How are you guys? Good to see you today.
Yeah, good to see you too.
Yeah, so I'm proud to be endorsed by Dirty Dogs and the owners there and most of the staff. So yeah, I'm honored to have that.
And they have great food there. Dirty Dogs. I was surprised. My daughter was like, hey, who knew? Because she's not a biker. She's like, that's one of our favorite restaurants. I'm like, really?
Well, like I said, really I said this to Julie. You know, I had my biker, urban, yuppie biker phase, and I had my Harley and went up to Sturgis and everything else. I'm glad I did it 40 years ago because we haven't grown any younger. I'm looking over that crowd and wow, we have all grown older.
You're still riding. Well, one of the things, I want to briefly catch up on your campaign here in a second, but when we were there, you know, we talked a lot about election integrity or the lack thereof, and you discovered some unopened ballots that should have been in people's mailboxes, but were not. Why don't you, so much for election integrity. Why don't you tell us about that?
So it was actually one of my somebody that I know from the bar, when he was pulling in, found them laying in the street there on the street in front of Dirty Dog's bar. And he picked them up and brought them in, and he really wasn't sure what to do. And so he saw me and he's like, can you help me? And I'm like, yes. So he hands me these ballots that he found laying in the street.
Just crazy. So these were unopened ballots that were mailed out last week,
right?
And they were just laying in the street with cars running over them.
Yes.
Well, he came to you after he came after me and said, what do I do with them? I said, vote Laurel Eimer.
yeah, there you go. Well, that's the concern. So what I did is I reached out, pulled up their information because I have access, you know, to the database. I called. The numbers were incorrect numbers because this goes back to our voter rolls and how bad they are. Okay. They're wrong. Everything in them is wrong. And so these were invalid. So after I left Dirty Dogs and I went and knocked on the door, it was just right around the corner. I went and I knocked on the door and a gentleman answered and I said, you know, are you so-and-so? And he said, no, he says, that's my roommate. And I said, does he still live at this address? And he says, yes. And I said, currently lives at this address today. And he says, yes. And I said, is he home? And he said, no. I said, well, I said, I found his ballot laying in the street. And I said, and he's a Democrat.
Okay, good for you.
Democrat. And I said, and I put my business card with it. And I said, he deserves the right to have his voice heard and his ballot not destroyed or voted by someone else. So I'm returning it to you to give to him. And so I gave it to him. So then I went to the next house and I knocked on the door. This person was a Republican, went and knocked on the door, and he doesn't live there anymore.
Oh.
No forwarding, no new address. These people don't know him. They don't know when he lived there, but he does not live there currently, and they know nothing of him, and they've never received mail for him before there, so they don't know anything. I can't find any information on this individual, no phone numbers, no nothing, no forwarding. So that ballot I've taken to the Secretary of State in Jeffco to have them destroy it. And
and of course they won't. They'll be like, oh, thank you.
Thank you.
I took the advice of a friend. And what I did before I returned it is I stabbed the center of the ballot with a pin.
Oh,
so that it's an invalid ballot so that nobody could use it. And then I returned it to them. But I have an even more disturbing thing that happened that same day.
Oh.
That same afternoon, I got a text message from a good friend, you might know my big flag guy. He was always with me in 2020 with the huge 20-foot Trump flag. Everywhere we went. Well, he moved to Texas just about 2 years ago. And, he called me and he goes, you are not going to believe what I have in my hand. And I said, what? And he goes, I'm sending you a picture. And he sent me a picture of a ballot mailed to him at his address in Texas, in Fort Worth, Texas, a Colorado mail-in ballot to Fort Worth, Texas. He is not registered here. He is registered in Texas. He has already voted. He has a voter. He's already registered and voted in Texas.
Wow.
He just got a Colorado ballot.
Well, he would have been read. They wouldn't, because they have that ridiculous Eric system. No one goes around deregistering. I mean, when I came out from college, I didn't kind of go, okay, I'll deregister.
Well, according to their system, you're not supposed to. Once you register in a new state, you're supposed to. That system should notify the other state and you fall off the voter rolls.
No, but a lot of states don't even belong to it.
Well, we used to call it, one of the first things Jenna Griswold did upon becoming Secretary of State is get rid of that interstate verification system.
Exactly.
So I just want to underscore. So just randomly on a Thursday afternoon, you came across three incidents of complete and total ballot fraud. I mean, sent out by the
potential for fraud. Yes. I mean, there wasn't any fraud in that moment, but the potential for fraud. And that's what I tell people, whether you want to believe in the fraud or not, what you have to see is that there is enough compelling evidence to give you pause for concern.
Right.
And that's what the data is showing us. And that's what the polling is showing us. Over 64% of the electorate in the United States as a whole, this is not just Republicans, the entire electorate, 64% have concern of voter integrity. That's a huge number.
Right. Well, I mean, and all of this, let's go back to the first incident. All of this sort of begs a question. And thank you to you for trying to at least get the ballots to the right person. But how did they end up in the street in the first place? Did the post office guy throw them there? Did somebody steal them from somewhere? I mean,
they come out of, I mean, and it was up around the corner. It was like 4 or 5 blocks. They didn't just blow down the street. I mean, I don't know.
Right.
But the concern is we've seen the photos of boxes, of mail boxes of ballots sitting on the side of the road. We saw them all through 2020 and we've seen them till now. So who knows? But the worst.
But our former chair, Ken Buck, said we have a gold standard.
Right. The gold standard. Well, the worst part about this is that I'm too transparent and I'm too honest. And that's my biggest fault. And it gets me into trouble. And so I posted on my Facebook page about this situation and I have been attacked and threatened on my Facebook page for people telling me that I stole those ballots.
Of course
you did. And then I went on the air to say that I mean, come on, give me a break.
You like went to these guys' house, opened their mailbox, stole them, then threw them on the ground. So the
ran over them a couple times. Yeah.
And then you drove to Florida or to Texas and stole his ballot.
All on Thursday night while I was at a
conference. That's a good Thursday night.
Well, I mean, and let's go back to even the Texas one. So somewhere along the line, our system was competent enough or, you know, to go ahead and change the guy's address. Right. But nowhere in there did somebody or some machine or something say, wait a minute, I wonder if we should verify this because we're having to change.
They don't verify it. What they do is they change the address. Yes, they send. I mean, that is not a unique example.
No.
That happens for thousands of ballots.
Yeah.
Thousands.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, and again, and you're the problem, Laurel. Right.
And somebody asked if it had his Texas address. It was not a forwarded ballot. It had his absolute Texas Fort Worth address on it. So they didn't forward from a forwarding.
Right.
So that's deliberate. His address, if he's vote registered here, he's not registered with a Texas address.
Right. Right.
So how did they get that?
I'm assuming too. I mean, then let's clarify for folks. I'm assuming that because this is why this should be a nonpartisan issue. I'm assuming since he was roaming around with the Trump flag that he's a Republican, right?
Right.
So this is, I mean, the system is so screwed up, it doesn't matter. But you got to wonder what's happening with, I mean, this is just a one afternoon where this came up with these ballots. And again, I mean, so if these two ballots were on the street there, I mean, my assumption would be that there was a batch of ballots somewhere that somebody was not delivering correctly or stealing or something was happening to those ballots. I can't imagine stealing because that's the kind of thing people notice. So
if you were going to steal it, why would you steal it and leave it in the street? You would steal it, vote it and turn it in.
So, yeah. So what's going on that there are ballots and you got to assume that if it happened to these two, there's some kind of crack in the system. So,
well, of course, I mean, it's an Occam razor argument, right?
Right.
I mean, the most plausible answer is generally true.
Right.
Okay? So that's just the way that it works. But this is disturbing. And the thing about it is I tell people, please vote in person. Protect the integrity of your ballot, vote in person. Make sure that you're destroying your other ballot so it can't be, you know, voted. Make sure you track your ballot with the numbers, all the things that you can do. That's all that we can do. That's our part that we can play in the process. make sure that you're verifying your registration. I recommend for people to verify their registration through the Secretary of State site at least twice a year, especially after you've signed up for any type of service, gotten a driver's license renewal, anything like that. Because of our auto voter registration, they go in and they'll change it.
Right.
And automatically change to an independent. And there are a lot of people this has happened to. This is so, you know, this is really important. And then just one other thing I want to touch on too, before we go, Chuck, you and I talked about this the other night about how all the Republicans in Colorado are freaking out about the dark money coming into our race.
Yay, dark money!
Primary, who would think that would
happen? Oh my gosh.
I keep saying, I hate to say I told you so, but we told you so. And Laurel, you're absolutely right. And you know what? So all these people, if Ron Hanks, who could never afford, and we're going to talk about this at the end of the show, some Democrat dark money, for instance.
$2.5 million, million for...
Ron Hanks,
Ron, and a million and a half for Greg Lopez,
who never would have probably had that.
Don't have 12 cents.
And so Chrissy Burden Brown and all you establishment Rhino Republicans just said, oh, that would never happen.
That's
Democrats
terrible.
Would never meddle. You people are conspiracy theorists. It's like, y'all get what you deserve. And I hope to God that Ron Hanks and
Ray Lopez,
get that.
Along
exactly. With you know, I mean, we're standing behind that. You know, absolutely, this is part of the fraud that comes into our races. This dark money is a huge piece of this puzzle. And anybody who didn't see it before is an idiot.
Right.
And you get what you get, and you can't throw a fit because you didn't stand with us when we stood at the Republican Central Committee meeting and begged them, hundreds of us in that auditorium, to repeal the open primary. They had their chance. They chose not to do it. And now they look the fool.
Right. And not only that, and their consultants aren't getting any money because you know that $1 million isn't going to Republican consultants.
Right. Right.
So it's going to go
which
to,
is a good deal. We don't want them to go to Republicans.
No, that, it is. And it's for, so people between, like we said, these ballots that just randomly appeared on the street in Jefferson County to the dark money meddling. It's like anyone who sits there and says, oh, no, we have the gold standard. Well, you're going to get what you deserve.
And there's dark money flowing in the CD7 race, too. There's some dark money mailers in the CD7 race. I ask people to very much pay attention to the bottom language on any mailer that they receive,
right.
Ad that they watch, anything that they're seeing. Look at who's paying for that. Do your research and pay attention because it's.
Well, that won't do you any good. The ones that send it out in CD8 is called the Committee to Take Back
Conservative
Congress.
Yeah.
That's who's sending it. And it's all Democrats.
Right.
It's all
well, Democrats. The one in CD7 is for Colorado's futures. And
there's
some very concerning information behind that. And I beg of people to pay attention because it's right in front of you, and open your eyes and vote wisely because you're going to be taken if you are not paying attention.
Well, and that's to say, that's again, I go back, stock market down 500, gas price over $5, which, by the way, Donald Trump said was going to happen if people elected Joe Biden.
Right.
Grocery store. I like the little K-cups for Starbucks, right? A year ago at this time, they were like $5 on sale. I was telling Chuck, $9.
She told me it's about 10 times.
I just am freaking out about that.
I keep going, I don't care.
I mean, it's kind of like if they raise the price of heroin or something like that, you know, I need my caffeine. But anyway, Laura.
But you know what? I can't remember his name now. Anyway, one of our great congressmen, he goes, the price of crack cocaine is cheaper than a gallon of gas, so it's better to get high and run everywhere.
Senator Kennedy from Louisiana.
That's it, was Kennedy. Thank you. Couldn't think who it was. Yes, Kennedy.
Well, you had to do that because you can't get caffeine anymore.
That's right.
Laura, let me just give you a chance. Your campaign, but it's wrapping up. Let me give you just a real quick chance before we go to Chris Linster to talk about the campaign and how people can get in touch and find out more.
So I'm Laurel Eimer, laurelimerforcongress.com. We need your donations more now than ever. If you want to donate or if you have not maxed out to my campaign, this is the day to do it. This money is crucial in these last 2 weeks. We have an opportunity to really get really important information to the voter, and we need your help to do that. Education, immigration, election integrity. Without those three things, we've lost the sovereignty of this nation, and nothing else that we do matters moving forward. That's my platform. I'm Laurel Eimer. Vote for me on June 28th.
Absolutely.
All right, Laurel, thank you very much.
Guys.
We appreciate your time. Good job with the ballots there, too.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, and I predicted that she would get attacked, right? People would say,
yes.
Oh, you're so
well, that's when the guy came up to me and said, here, you want to go?
Chuck's like, no, here, give it to Julie.
Give it to Julia.
She can handle it.
I'm controversial.
Yeah, Chuck's controversial. Okay, we want to go now, and I think I saw Chris there earlier. We have a new sponsor for the show, as well as a great guy to recommend, Chris Linster. Chris, are you there on Zoom somewhere? I thought I saw him. TJ, do you see Chris? Yep, there he is.
Yay!
Chris, if you want to, can you go ahead and unmute yourself and turn your camera on? If you can do that. There we go. Oh, there you go. Hey, is that
in the bright sunshine?
Working hard to be out in the heat, for sure.
That's right. Hey, listen, we won't take a lot of your time, but we wanted to introduce you to folks. Chris actually was recommended to us by some other people we had doing some yard. Chris, it's Chris Linster with happytrees.co, not com, happytrees.co, did some work with us, and we were so impressed. We said, hey, look, we need to get the word out and talk about what the kind of stuff that you do.
But, you know, for anybody who doesn't live in an apartment and has a home, trees die, trees get blown down, and then you go, well, what do I do now? And you can talk to big landscaping companies and they'll say, yeah, we'll do a $10,000 plan for you and a $20,000. No, I just want a tree, you know? And then you can go over to
Home Depot
and buy a defective tree and plant it yourself and watch it die the next spring. But you really got to find somebody who will sell you trees, good trees, who has its own nursery, and we'll help you plan it if you want to. And I'd recommend strongly. Julie has said, well, why don't you give your endorsement as a landscaper's daughter?
Well, and then, Chris, well, let me back up. I'm going to endorse you later. Let me just invite you to tell folks here real quick about your business.
Sure. That is such a nice plug. Thank you guys very much. But you got it pretty well nailed. I've been in Colorado for over 30 years doing landscape design, building gardens and pools and decks and all that fun stuff. And I realized that all the garden centers have kind of gone away. The land has gotten more valuable than the business. And so if you're a homeowner and you live in Denver or the greater Denver area, you've got to go clear up to Longmont or all the way down to Franktown to do it the old fashioned way, where you get in your car and you walk around a 20 acre nursery for a half your Saturday. And I decided that this industry was not using technology. It hasn't kept up. And so I built a website. You can shop for trees online the same way you buy a handbag or a pair of shoes or anything else. Got lots of pictures of all the kinds of trees that'll do well here in all four seasons and in flower. And you can go on there, scope out what you might like, give me a call, or just fill out an order form on my website.
And you're happy to give recommendations come out, even look at the thing.
And that's just advice. This would go good here. No, we were thinking we wanted one thing. You were like, you don't want that.
Yes, of course. I've been doing this my entire life, and I'm a real tree geek and a nut, and I really try to pay attention to the things that'll do really well out here and what might be the perfect tree for your needs.
Okay, and I guess, and you said so people can order trees, and can they just order them and you'll deliver them, or can they order them, you'll plant them, take care of them, a menu, I guess, of services?
Yeah, we're a one-stop shop. We provide the trees, we deliver them out to you, and then I bring a crew out, we dig the hole, amend the soil, we stake it, top dress, mulch. I've found some great suppliers for fertilizers and nutrients that I'm incorporating with all my new tree plantings. So we give these trees every best shot at life and thriving in your landscape, and I would love to talk to you about it.
All right. And let me give you, so we're talking to Chris Linster with happytrees.co, one of our new sponsors. We're very happy to have him. And I'll just say, like I told you, my dad was a landscaper. My brother was a landscaper. And you
is a landscaper.
Is a landscaper. My brothers are landscapers. You did something I'd never seen before. So folks, I mean, I know people like me, you know, you get something planted and then they say, okay, water it well. And you're like, well, the tree, I mean, what's watering it well? And you guys, this was genius, I thought. What you did, so folks know, is so they planted the trees and you staked them with these nice stakes, not those horrid iron stakes that you can never get out of the ground again, like a fence post. And then you have a plastic tube and there's just a little stick in it. And you said, when the plastic tube, it goes down to where the tree roots are. And you said, if you pull out the little stick, the wooden stick, and it's dry, then the tree needs water. Duh. And if it's wet, then the tree doesn't need water. I'm like, brilliant.
Genius.
Yeah, genius. I mean, it's that kind of service, though, that you provide. You don't just like plant the tree and then leave and say, good luck with the tree, guys.
Sure. Yeah, we've got such rotten heavy clay here in Colorado, and that tends to trap water. And I'd say we lose more trees to overwatering than we do to underwatering, even though we live in this very dry climate. So really important that you understand what's going on down at the bottom of that hole. And it's just a simple little tool. You can kind of poke around in there. And if you see those leaves wilting, don't just automatically assume it needs more water. It could be drowning.
Right. Well, and one other thing too, I thought that you did real well is you gave us a juniper. And initially I was like, oh, I hate junipers, but this is a different kind of juniper. And with all the water rates in Westminster being sky high, you were like, yeah, you don't need some kind of tree that's going to cost you $1 million to water. You said these trees are native to Colorado. They grow well. So you can also give folks advice in terms of what's going to work and what's going to be cost efficient for them too, particularly as water rates go sky high.
Absolutely. And on my website, I've got a little blog section. I just put up a cool thing on juniper bushes. I wish we called them cedar. We'd sell more, but yeah, they're great plants. And if you go out to like Red Rocks, you'll see most of those trees are the native Rocky Mountain juniper, and they're just growing straight out of those red sandstone cliffs. So they do quite well. So they'll do good in your yard as well. And we've got hybridized varieties that have deep blue color or very bright green colors and very soft, lacy texture. This is not your grandmother's Pfitzer juniper.
No. And this is just a couple of comments and then let you go. We've got Charlene is saying a local business in your own backyard for your own backyard. Perfect. Laurel Eimer, the CD7 candidate, goes, what's the website? So the website is, this is Chris Linster, but the website is, it's easy to remember, happytrees.co. Okay, there you go. Exactly. Happytrees.co. And I can tell you, if you just type in happy trees, it comes up automatically.
Now, I knew I liked Chris right away. I wasn't sure why. And then he said he was the captain of rugby at Clemson. And then he played.
And he listens to our show.
And he listened to our show. And he played for the Gentlemen of Aspen in the 90s when they had some great teams. And I played for the Gentlemen of Aspen 20 years earlier. But it was great stuff. And as some people know, on Friday afternoons, we go down to the ballet.
AKA Shotgun Willie's.
You don't have to say that, Julie. And the mayor's there and everyone else. So I'm gonna invite him down to one of these Friday afternoons to join us at the ballet.
Because they're all rugby people. They're all rugby people. Okay, Chris, final word. Anything else you want to say? And why don't you give folks your website one more time? Uh-oh, he froze.
He froze.
All right. Well, we'll let Chris go. He's where you can see his crew working in the background there. So, Chris, we're going to let you go. Thank you so much for your time. We are very pleased and proud to have you as a new sponsor. We'll be a sponsor in the newspaper as well. And thank you, Dr. Donna. Happytrees.co. Seriously, I was impressed. As great. A landscaper's great. Daughter, I was watching great. What they were doing. And I'll tell a real quick story. This is why people like me need help. When I was a kid, we had to earn money to go to college. My dad had a nursery, right? And my sister and I, we had to prune the trees. And one day my dad was
slave
like,
labor.
Oh, yes, well, was slave labor, but he would have fired us even as slaves. He said, okay, girls, I want you to prune the trees shoulder height, right? So we all went around and we pruned the trees. The trouble was my dad came home, the trees were only like this high. Right. So my sister and I had pruned all the branches. We had this whole nursery of like, I have no idea what that cost my dad. And my dad, but my poor dad, he was looking at us like, how can anyone be that stupid? It's all, like, he didn't even know what to say. I think he went in the house and had a drink. It was just kind of like, anyway, needless to say, we got in trouble for that. But anyway, so Chris with happytrees.co, they will not do that to you. So we want to spend, yeah, no wonder I'm so earthy, Charlene. Yeah, exactly. the last thing we want to say, we wanted to talk a little bit more about We Told You So. We hate to say We Told You So, but We Told You So. And the Dem dark money meddling in the Colorado Republican
primaries.
Well,
it's kind of a reverse Told You So in its own way. The establishment does not trust Republicans, and so it doesn't want to have a Republican primary. And it's certainly, if you went by the assemblies, the more conservative candidates, the MAGA candidates, all won.
And then won handily.
So they want to force it into these open primaries where unaffiliateds can vote, and therefore dilute and come up with just your usual
milquetoast
Republicans.
Right. Who lose.
Now, they always say, well, and one of the big problems is there is no money. And I mean no money for true conservatives in Colorado. I mean, every Laurel Eimer was telling you, and I'm sure it's the same with Bob Lewis, anything will help. So amazingly, in this kind of reversal of fortune, the Democrats decided to play in the Republican primaries here in Colorado, and two PACs were set up to run $1 million and $1.5 million radio campaigns claiming
mailer campaigns, all kind of TV campaigns, full media campaigns
saying that No, don't vote for.
Well, vote for Ron Hanks and vote for Greg Lopez.
No, don't vote for Ron Hanks and don't vote for Greg Lopez because they're too conservative, and they're pro-life and they believe in the Constitution and they're for the Second Amendment. So you send that to Republicans. They go, oh, wait a minute, this is the person I want to vote for. And so Ron Hanks has gotten more publicity, and same with Greg Lopez, than they could ever in 1,000 years raise money for. And the Christy Burton Browns who have run this party into the ground go, that's not fair. Oh no. Oh, can you believe it? They're backing, they're trying to help those guys and we're trying to kill them.
And again, when you guys were traveling around the state last year, kind of getting support, which people did support closing the primary, because keep in mind, guys, this is only for 100 years. It was closed in Colorado back in the day when Republicans periodically won statewide offices. It was a closed primary. You had to be, and they say, well, that's voter suppression. No, it's not. All you have to do is register to be a Republican. And you can register same day, right? So you register to be a Republican to vote in the Republican primary. That's not voter suppression. And, you know, that doesn't keep anybody. But I think all these Democrats, as we see in the Lauren Boebert race, thousands of Democrats are unaffiliating so they can vote against Lauren Boebert because she's popular. I mean, the meddling occurs in any number of levels, right? And so if I can imagine that there would be some Democrats willing to become a registered Republican in order to vote, but not thousands. But when you say, well, just unaffiliate for the day. Remember, we talked to Karen Cataline about this, Cataline conspiracy, yeah. Right? But the Democrats are doing it in an organized way. They've got millions of dollars behind it. So I hope, number one, I hope that Ron Hanks, Greg Lopez, Laurel Eimer, Tina Peters, Lori Sane all benefit from this and become the nominees, right? Well,
it certainly put new life into Ron Hanks's campaign, because all you'd ever hear are the natterings of the establishment, Anschutz organs like Independence Institute and the Colorado Gazette and the Denver Gazette. And so he actually gets his message out in a backhand way. And we've got to have, I'm going to call Greg up and get him on because this is great.
This is, well, and here a couple of things from Laurel. She's putting out Parable. That's your organization. Mm-hmm. And Laurel Eimer also, and thank you for staying on and listening, Laurel. She's absolutely right. Do your research. You can check the website listed on the mailers and you can go to Tracer and see who contributes to them. Some of them, it can be kind of hard to figure out, but you can look at, like, say, the registered agent for it, and you can see, does this person usually work for a Democrat or a Republican? I mean, this from Charlene, a big backfire, unintended consequences, or there would be no consequences at all. That's absolutely true. So we'll see. And I still think, though, that like I said, hopefully this helps Ron and Greg and Rory.
And which will make them do it more often.
Right. Well, yeah. And so hopefully then they go ahead and close a primary, because this is the kind of
I won't close a primary, but it's a great, it's a great way for there is no money for true grassroots absent Democrats. So thank you, Democrats, for funding.
Tell me what you think here too. The Democrats are doing this because I think the Democrats, all they do is talk in an echo chamber to each other, right? And they've got all their consultants talking to each other. They're doing this because they think the grassroots candidates are the weaker candidates.
Yes.
I also think they could be in for a very big surprise come the general election results on that too. What do you think?
Well, yes. I mean, we've constantly told that we have to have Walker Stapleton or John McCain or
Bob Beaupre, Mitt Romney,
Liz Cheney, because they're the only ones that can win.
Lindsey Graham.
So this could be the super unintended consequences where those guys got in because they have a real platform and care about the issues. They attract unaffiliateds and others. And win. And then it'd be the biggest bombshell ever. So
that's right. And Peg
stuff.
Cage, for our folks who are listening on Zoom, has put up at her website, mycoloradogop.org, which, by the way, is a great website.
Yeah,
I recommend everybody check that regularly. I know I do. But the status of the constitutionality of the open primary, and that's kind of still, as those things do, the Parable organization making its way through the courts, right?
Well, sort of.
John Eastman's a little busy these days with the whole thing. But I just think it's, like I said, the Democrats, anytime they suggest something. So when they said, oh, we need to have an open primary, I have no doubt this was part of the plan all along. And we're seeing it play out big this year because the Democrats are looking at a horrible year, right? And previous years, maybe they didn't need to play this much. And also they've just seen how vulnerable it is. And they've seen that the Colorado—
Well, they have so much money. They have so much money, and there's so few people that it's going to make a big difference. I think it's really going to make a difference, and I hope it does.
And I hope it has even more unintended consequences.
Yeah,
and we
absolutely
see Greg Lopez. Well, I kind of think the governorship is hard, but I think the Senate race, Laurel Eimer, Lori Sain, all of
this
those
is going
races
to be an amazing year. Let me tell you, when the president of the United States has an approval rating in the 30s, that's going to be even in Colorado, its approval rating is around 36 or 37. So, thank
good.
You, Democrats.
Yeah, thank you, Democrats. Send the Chuck and Julie Show money.
Yeah.
Hey, you can catch all
we'll give you ads for Ron Hanks and
thank you to Bob Lewis, to Laurel Eimer, and to Chris Linner. Remember happytrees.co. The great guys at BBS, you can catch all of our shows, links to however you like to listen to podcasts at chuckandjulie.com. On Wednesday, we've got Dr. Brian Jundep coming up. He had another great column on the mental health issue and how the Democrats, as usual, would rather exploit it than solve it. In American Thinker, we'll be talking to him about that. And that's it for us today.
That's it.
All right.
Thank
we'll
you,
see
everyone.
You later, everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you Wednesday.
Take care.